Who gave him the oil and the wine? My brother Eddie is, I recognize the anointing of God in him. So I want to serve as a pastor. I want to serve in any way that I can so that he can fulfill that and walk in that anointing. That's where my heart is as a pastor. Some of that is through guidance and different things that God will share with me so that I can help him mature in that anointing. And other parts of it is just doing things so it just frees him to function in it. My brother and I have talked for a long time, and God has shared with each one of us in different ways, and we've come together and just sit down, and sometimes we've wrestled with it, and other times it's just been a beautiful conversation. Other times I walk away going, what in the heck just happened there, God? But it's neat, the relationship that we've developed, and I see the call of God in his life, and we're learning in the process of it. My brother, I mean, everybody's recognized the evangelist that's in him. And if I said he walked in any office, I would say that's in the evangelist. That's where his passion's at. But God started speaking to him and to me, and God started saying he's going to renew, he's going to restore the office of evangelist. The evangelist, to me, in our churches nowadays, is just, we're not doing, it's not right. Something's wrong. And you see the fruit of it because all it does is just light a bunch of fires and turns pastors cold-hearted towards the evangelist. Often what you see, and I've talked to evangelists on the telephone that have called and everything, and they will tell you California and Oregon, Washington, the West, is very hard for evangelists to come into a church. Nobody wants them in there. A little different, society's a little different, and attitudes are a little different when you get back in the South and in the East. But the West, it's very hard for evangelists to come into the church, and what if, because they've come in and just started a bunch of problems oftentimes, so pastors just like, I don't even want an evangelist in here. You cause me more problems, and I've had my share of problems because of guest speakers. They come in and they share things, and they just come from a perspective that usually ends up causing problems. And one of the things that I started struggling with is kind of the status quo is they call or they send their promotional stuff, and they want you to come, they want to come to your church, and they're trying to get all these dates scheduled, and they'll come on a love offering, and I'm so sick of hearing about that, it just drives me nuts. Because even that, it puts pressure on a church. It puts pressure on the pastor. You know, you automatically when somebody wants a love offering, I know it's going to cost them a certain amount to come. I know it is. So I start feeling the pressure. Well, what if the congregation doesn't bless them with that much? To just do a love offering would be say, hey, we're going to take up an offering right now for so-and-so. And whatever's there goes to them and it automatically puts pressure. Wait a minute, did they get enough? Because I don't want them to come for nothing. And I get the whole honoring the man of God that comes and all that, but I think we've got it a little skewed in how it's been handled. And I've been able to share with my brother, and we've been just praying about it and seeing what happens. And my heart is, what I see is Paul was traveling around different places. And Paul, as he went to Corinth and he went to these different places, he was receiving an offering that he was taking to Jerusalem. He was headed to Jerusalem, and he was receiving an offering on the way for them. And it just dawned on me, my heart... We have an evangelist in the house, Reverend Eddie Romo. My heart is to see God use him wherever God would open doors. So as an example, if we were going to send him to Lee Eddie's church in Colorado, we send him. Did you hear that? We send him. We recognize the anointing in Eddie. We know that God is calling him to go to Colorado, and we give him the oil and the water, and we say, go. And we don't just send him saying, well, he'll come on a love offering. But there's nothing attached to it whatsoever. And we actually send a love offering with Eddie for the church in Colorado. To me, that's more scriptural of what the evangelist is supposed to do. We're seeing things restored, and I don't understand it, and Eddie doesn't completely, we don't see it completely, but we're learning in the process of it. We're learning what this is supposed to look like. We're learning how the freedom starts coming to the church. It's already happening. Eddie's been involved with a church in Orland that started up. God ordained meeting Mike and Chandra, and many of you, some of you have met them. They've attended here a few times. God ordained it. God set it up. And it wasn't for me to put my hand to and say, well, what are you doing down there in Orland? I'm not threatened by my brother's calling. I know God uses him. And the beauty of it is God is using him down there to speak the wisdom and the revelation that God has released here. He's taking it down there with a very humble heart and in prayer, and it's going out. He's taking the oil and the water, and he's going out. and he's doing what Paul did. Paul would go into an area and he would spend time. Eddie is not just going in there and telling him what to do. Eddie's going in there and he's sharing his heart. He's building relationship with them and he's helping them and encouraging them and building them up, and they're praying together, and he is a part of what is raising up down there. But Eddie will tell you, this is where he goes to church. This is where he's supposed to be. It's really a neat thing that's happening. I think it's beautiful. It's not always comfortable as a pastor, because you get caught up in, can I trust Eddie? I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to trust God. And when God says, take your hands off, I get my hands off. It's okay. And the cool thing is I've sat back and chewed my nails and all the stuff and fought and wrestled with all of it. And I've seen some beautiful things come out of our brother. He's learning, and he's coming back and he's sharing with me. All of a sudden, it's going two ways. I'm learning things by watching what he's doing. And it's beautiful. So I share all that saying this. Our brother's going to Mongolia. Better him than me. I don't know how it all works. I don't know how all this works. But I do know the things that God has been sharing with me. I want to see him start to function. I want us to take a step of faith. And no, none of us by ourselves can afford to send him to Mongolia and cover everything. But I believe God's calling us to be a part of it. What part you play in that is between you and God. I'm not putting pressure on anybody. But as a church, how do we recognize the anointing that's in our brother? And how do we serve and sacrifice in order to see that fulfilled in him? Because he's been serving and sacrificing in order that I could flow in the anointing that he sees in me. It goes both ways, doesn't it? And this is just an example, because I believe there's a call of God on each one of you. And I want to serve so that you can begin fulfilling that call of God in your life. If we all have that heart for one another, my goodness, Hebrews 10 will play out. We'll be looking to love and to provoking to love and to good work. The body of Christ will function. It's time. Eddie, you want to come share some things about Mongolia before we worship a little bit here this morning? Better you than me, brother. Sure.
And not going back, the old guys, you know, live in the past, but about 40 years ago, again, there was an evangelist came to town here, and he got acquainted with me because I got filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence in under his ministry. And for some reason, we decided we liked each other. We went to lunch a few times, and he came up to Riverside and did bike cars for me. And he would tell me about his life. And kind of what brother's doing there, going in faith. He talked about one time he had $60 left in his account, and God was telling him, go to Oregon. This is back when you get there with the $300 of gasoline. And down by Stockton, Riverside is where he lived. And he started north. And he got into Oregon, and he got up at Grand Pass, and he was running out of money. And he just, in prayer, Lord, what do you want me to do? Looked in the phone book, and for some reason, this one number stuck out. He called the pastor, and it was a struggling little church in a mill town. He said, I think I'm supposed to speak there after talking to him. And he went by faith and left 2 years later with a strong church. And it still is. But God orchestrates it. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
The same pastor also, I mean, he was an evangelist pastor. Had some miraculous things showed to him. He'd been around the world. And, like, he was in one place and saw a limb that had been amputated regrow. We want to see healing.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, and faith alone, we will see things accomplished here. And our brother's going to see mighty things then in Mongolia.
Amen. Amen. You'll turn it on. Go ahead. There it is.
I have an evangelist come. He wants to send me to churches that are in need, you know? Churches that can't afford to have somebody come. Churches that are struggling and need somebody to come spend time with them, you know? Not just come put on a show for a weekend, but go spend time with them and build relationships with them and bring healing there. And, so we all get to be a part of that, you know, and that's exciting. And, so Mongolia, and I just want to thank everyone who helped support me. Last year I went to Korea. And it was quite the experience, and God, and that country, I mean, God has done an amazing work in Korea, South Korea. Just about 56 years ago, there wasn't much going on. It was pretty, really bad, bad place to be. And now it's like an extremely prosperous country, and God has just took over that country, and there are Christian churches everywhere. They got the largest church in the world, and some of the most powerful men and women of God I've ever met or been in Korea, just the most humble, anointed people. And I didn't know how I was supposed to minister to them. I was like, God, where'd you send me? How am I supposed to minister to these people? They're so anointed. And God definitely met me there, and we were able to serve and minister at churches. And we went basically on like a crusade type deal, and we went from church to church in different places and preached, and it was pretty amazing. So this trip's going to be a little different because the church is about 0.07% Christians there. So it's one of the least reached places on the planet. And in the city I'm going to, which is the capital city, it contains a majority of the population of the country. And there's about a dozen languages. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but God knows. And we're believing for miracles. We're believing for the gospel to be preached and people to be set free and for the kingdom of God to come and for the power of God to be displayed through us, the team that's going. We're going to have four people going, me and a few other friends from a college group that we had started in Chico State, and the same people I went to Korea with. So Mongolia, you might wonder why, how that came to pass, and I don't know, because we were planning on going to China. Me and my friends were planning on going to China, and nobody really had peace about China. So that was like the trip was going to be China. And I just lacked peace in it, and my friends lacked peace in it. And one of my friends that's going, his parents live in China. So we were going to go stay there and have that as the base and go from there, you know. And they had connections in Mongolia, and they wanted us to go to Mongolia with them, you know. So we were going to go to China and then go to Mongolia from China for 10 days and come back. So it just turned into Mongolia only. So God wants us just to go to Mongolia. So we're going to go to Mongolia. And it's a third world country. It's a dangerous country. It's a nasty climate. It's just, I'm not afraid. I'm excited. And I'm thrilled. And I know God's going to do powerful things. And I just appreciate you guys' support and prayer and encouragement. And I'll be leaving July 9th. So it's pretty soon. Time's going to fly by real quick. Packing my bags. And I just thank you guys. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what that's going to be like. And I'm not exactly sure, but God knows. So we'll stay. Well, actually, I have a friend we met in South Korea who is a dean, a president of a Christian university. Had a friend in Mongolia. So we're going to have some connections over there, a place we'll stay, a Christian school that's there. So other than that, I know that there's some churches that are opening their door to us. And so we're going to go and encourage the believers, because the believers are really, they're discouraged. They're a real small number of Christians in that country. So we're going to go encourage the believers, and we're going to go feed the poor. We're going to and just serve however we can, and we'll be there for 2 weeks. But God could do a lot in 2 weeks, because I've seen Him do a lot in Korea in 2 weeks. Absolutely. And so, amen. Thank you guys.
And yeah. This isn't about receiving a love offering specifically this morning. Our heart is. Things that I questioned as I became the pastor and began looking at man's program and kind of what it's become. Not saying that it's wrong, but oftentimes what you see is kind of the status quo in churches. I see God doing something different here. Missions, sometimes it's just having missionaries come in and they're raising money and we all commit to send a missionary, or we do overseas missions and send money to a church overseas, and that's kind of where missions have been. Our hearts, and I say ours as in mine and the leadership and the financial team, and kind of where we've been looking at is, how does God want us to do some of this? There are some hurting churches right here in the United States. We've sent some love offerings to those churches. It didn't have to go overseas. That's what I would consider as missions, is helping some of those churches that are hurting financially. I don't know if we've talked specifically, but I'm looking at it more in the terms of having a missions account. And maybe out of that missions account, maybe God puts it on somebody's heart. We need to send a love offering to a small church that's hurting or whatever it may be. Out of that missions account, maybe Eddie's asked to speak in Sacramento and we pay for his mileage and his meals down there and send a love offering down to the church that he's going to. Whatever it may be, that would all come out of missions. That would be missions outreach and however that works. If some of that money comes out and goes to Mongolia and not only helps with the cost of getting there and the meals and lodging and all those things, but also we send a love offering and we give that to our brother, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he imparts that to the churches in Mongolia, however that looks. But it's supporting and serving and sacrificing in order for the anointing of God that we recognize in our brother to go and function in that. Amen? So, if that account will be started, and if you want it to go, if you want to give money, I'm not going to take special offerings. I struggle with this. I want us all to just be adult about it. And if the Spirit of God says to you, I want you to give so much money to this, then just be faithful. Put missions or Mongolia down on the bottom of the check if you're writing a check. Whatever it may be, mark it that way, and we'll make sure it gets there. But I'm not trying to put pressure on everybody. I just want you to listen to the voice of God. And if God tells you to give, be faithful to it. That's the way our tithing and everything else should be. Whatever God's telling you. I don't want to put pressure on people. To me, I look at it, that's just kind of manipulating people to get what you want out of them. I don't want to do that. I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to do that. I just want all of us to be mature and think of the Spirit and listen to what God's telling us to do and be obedient. Quit trusting in one another. Let's trust God. Amen? Well, I just got ministered to in here this morning. I hope everybody else did. Can we worship? My wife's looking at me. She's sleeping. Anybody else want to worship God in here this morning? Let's end with worship this morning.